Next, David begins a discussion of the inner pathway to enlightenment and the personality characteristics that are favorable for this pathway.
I think to be introspective, you can't walk around naively oblivious of who you are and how you come across to people, and etc. So a certain degree of self-awareness and the capacity for self-criticalness, to be able to see your upside, your downside, your limitations, accept the reality of your personality where it is, to be introspective and to be reflective. Somebody will suggest something and you say, well, I have to reflect on that. It means you're going to hold it in mind and various facets begin to reveal themselves. You forget all about it and then you have a peanut butter sandwich and in the middle of the sandwich you realize other significances of it. How it affects your relationships with others, how it reflects the fulfillment of things you've held in mind, the implicit limitations of what you feel you would not be able to do, etc. So significance and fulfillment, all these things become consequences of reflective. So a self-reflective life, what do they say? The unexamined life is not worth living, right? To be conscious and aware. And, you know, many people are extremely oblivious how they come across to others and oblivious to major blind spots and repetitious. They make the same mistake for decades, and you say, well, haven't they gotten any feedback from the world or reflected on that? Don't you know what I'm saying? The capacity to constantly learn, to have an open mind, to be able to, has to do with perspicacity, the capacity to discern and observe. And of course, one of the things about being a physician is one of the innate qualities you need is perspicacity. And over the years, I could always tell outside my office, I would hear the next patient coming across the floor to the office door, and I could already tell you whether they're better or worse than last time. Somehow the rate, the gait, the rhythm, their stance as they walked into the room, they didn't have to say anything. Already you had concluded or surmised at least a great deal about the person. So perspicacity, you have to be able to witness the slightest alteration in things, to be aware of that. There are people that are completely oblivious. They walk around in a dream state or something. Seem to be completely oblivious to the obvious. So interest in the evolution of one's own consciousness and how it's evolved over time, how it expressed itself in ancient times. And you can say, is that still present in today's world? Are there people that still are mystics in this world, that speak from the self, etc.? So curiosity leads to learning. Curiosity leads to learning. That's how the little amoeba stays alive. It has to constantly search around and find what's to eat or is not going to be here. People do get addicted to the accumulation of knowledge for its own sake. And that's probably just a phase that people go through. Sooner or later, probably one begins to realize that it has to be put into actual practice and not just be intellectually conversant. That's just part of the evolution of one's spiritual awareness. First, you accumulate the information, then you pursue the information to experience for yourself the truth of it. People very often start out with intellectual curiosity. And they'll buy just about any and every book they can on spirituality. I went through that phase myself one time. I had a whole one wall of books on everything you can think about. Pseudo-spirituality, true spirituality, and all kinds of psychic readings and people on the other side and channelings and God knows what anything. And then discernment arose over the years. So there's a curiosity, sort of a wide-eyed amazement that there are realms that you weren't even aware of. I mean, you can go through formal schooling and never be aware that there's anything other than the logical, the linear, and the concrete, and suddenly become aware that there are old dimensions, you know.